Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Back, everybody. 12:34 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Oilers back on the ice after the last 3 days being off. They got a game Saturday against Ottawa. 15 skaters on the ice. Kyle Turris placed in COVID protocol. So Yamamoto, Fogel, Perlini, and Benson all can come out of protocol in time for Saturday's game, along with defenseman Bouchard and Cuckoo. Holloway and Turris also in COVID protocol, with Konovalov at this time. We'll tell you that guests on the show receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night in the town, every meal's an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. Tell Brendan, Taylor, and Chris that Oilers Now sent you. We're going to go to our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. And we are pleased to be joined on the line by Brian Lawton. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Doing fantastic, Bob. How are you?
Oh, not bad. It's interesting times, and it's interesting times because in this day and age, everybody's got an opinion. Some of those opinions are very strong, especially when it comes to a player that's, you know, there's been questions on character in the past and that sort of thing involving Evander Kane. Ken Holland didn't screw around. He said point blank, yes, I've talked to Dan Milstein. There's been multiple reports out there that the Oilers are quote-unquote well-positioned potentially to land Evander Kane. That said, the league said, hold on a sec here, we got more work to do. As a guy that's been in the chair before and looking at Edmonton's situation, how would you assess whether or not the Oilers should potentially pursue Evander Kane? What would you do in that scenario?
Well, what Ken Holland would do is he would go through his coach, he would go through the players, his leadership group, and see what they had to say, and then he would make his decision. If I were Ken and I did that, and my coach was in favor of it, which I would guess that Dave Tippett would be because you're looking for a spark, I would guess most players that know him, unless they've had a really poor personal experience, generally are somewhat empathetic and sympathetic to another player having struggles. Happens to everybody. And I think the end result for Ken is that, yes, he should. My vote would be that, yes, I would consider it. And I wouldn't consider it in every organization. Some people may not understand this, but, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning have come out and said it's probably not a fit for them. Yeah, I get that. That could be salary cap. That could be their leadership group. That could be a number of different reasons. But for the Edmonton Oilers and where they're at, if their players were okay and the coach was okay, I absolutely 100% would be in.
What do you think of the people out there, some of whom are in the media, you know, leading the no charge on this based upon their, I guess, moral consciousness issue? You know what I mean? Like, they're saying, well, you know what? You can't have that guy. You can't bring that guy in. That guy's a bad guy, and you can't have that guy in there. How would you respond to that, Brian?
My first thought is that everybody, and this is the world we live in, but this is the way I've always thought, to be honest with you, is I will acknowledge someone else's opinion. I may not agree with it. I would not agree with that. I think players do deserve second chances. I think they come back with shorter leashes. But, you know, when it comes to the media, Bob, I see more and more people that just take an extreme view for more self-centered reasons, to be honest with you. That's kind of my macro. I don't begrudge anybody for it. Everybody's trying to make a living. You have to understand that. But it wouldn't sway my opinion. The Edmonton Oilers are a hockey team. They have a player that arguably would be their third or fourth best forward on their team. They have a chance to acquire him for a low cap hit and give up no assets. There is risk, but that's a risk that if I were managing Edmonton this year and how the season's gone, that is a risk I would consider. I believe it's a risk that a lot of other teams would consider as well.
Here's my thing on this, is there's no cost. You're not giving up an asset to get him.
Zero. And that is part of the equation. It's not just I can't take that player, and I don't want to be cynical. There has been a time, and I believe I've told stories on this show before, that, you know, there were certain players that I would go to our scouts and say, I appreciate the ranking on that player, but he would be on our no draft list. And I would sit down and explain why. And that's just, you know, that's the way that I see it. Now, those reasons, I'm not going to talk about what they are on this radio show, but, you know, every situation is unique and you have to evaluate it that way.
Yeah, well, and again, I believe there, you know, I think we know there's multiple organizations that are investigating this, because the asset required to get them is zilch. There are no, and yes, it's funny. Here's what happened, Brian. So the media pushed for 3 or 4 days to have Ken Holland do a media availability, okay? And the Oilers are in a stretch where they're 2-9-2. They've used 11 defensemen over the course of the last 13 games. You saw the piece on the NHL Network. Who was the guy that did it?
Mike Kelly.
Pardon me?
Mike Kelly.
Showing that the Oilers were 8th in expected goals for and 13th in expected goals against during the stretch, and they've been 31st in goals for and 28th in goals against. We have really smart people that understand analytics here. But it's funny, sometimes it doesn't necessarily fit their own narratives that they believe about certain players or about a coach. Like, I never thought the Oilers were as good as 16-5, but they were 16-5, and I don't think they actually played that bad during the 2-9-2 stretch, given who they didn't have. 5 of the 9 losses are against 5 of the 10 best teams in the league, or 4 of the best teams, because they lost to Toronto twice, and Toronto's a good team. I know that's hard for people to hear, but, you know, it's just kind of funny, right? Like, the general manager goes and does an availability, and he doesn't say what people want to hear. Like, he doesn't sit there and say, like he said, I don't want to give up. We asked him earlier in the year, if you're in the top 8, would you move a first-round pick for a player with a contract carrying forward, meaning the player has a contract beyond this season? Okay? And he said yes. And yesterday he was asked in a sort of about way whether or not he'd trade a first-round pick for a guy with an expiring deal. That's pretty much what he was asked. And he's like, no. And that wasn't good enough for the fan base out there. Some. A lot of the fans totally implicitly understood that. It's almost, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, especially when you're, I guess this is what it would be like. Like, there was criticism of Nick Saban after Alabama lost. Well, he's lost 3 of the last 5 national championship games. Yeah, but they've won the other 2. It was a rebuilding season for them, and they had their starting 2 wide receivers that were the best receiving tandem in the country, and their 2 starting cornerbacks out. This is a rebuilding year for them. Like, but football, college football is mad in the state of Alabama, and hockey is crazy in Canada. It's and I'm circling here somewhere, Kent. Here's where I'm going to go with this, okay, Brian? I wonder whether or not it's just easier to hide in some markets. You know what I mean? Like, there's no place to hide.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. There's not a lot of places. I love doing the radio show in Edmonton with you, Bob, in particular. You know that, and I appreciate it. And I don't do a lot of these, but I do like it there, partly because the fan base is so rabid and passionate. But other times, I'm fully aware that it's over the top. You can't complain about that in this business. That's just the way it is. I mean, trust me, I had it the other way in Tampa. In 2008, economy was upside down. Professional hockey wasn't that high on the radar for folks. I would much prefer it the way it is in Edmonton. And yet, in talking to people like Ken, certainly Dave Tippett, and others in the organization, it can be over the top at times. Too bad. That's what you sign up for in these jobs. Leadership, people say, is hard. The older I get, the less I believe that it's hard. It's not that hard to be honest and transparent. You don't always get the reaction you want.
Right.
But for the most part, that's what leadership is about. Ken Holland, I thought, was very transparent. I could tell Ken was frustrated. And that's a veteran guy that's been in this business for a very, very long time and had a ton of success. So I get it that it's a ramped-up market. People want to see the Oilers do well. People are crazy about we got to get the most out of Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. Ken Holland knows that. It's still a process. It moves painfully slow at times. It's not going to rankle Ken Holland, though. He may have looked a little frustrated to me in that press conference, but he's going to stick to his guns. All Ken has to worry about is making good decisions moving forward. That's all he can do. That's the way he looks at it. And I still think he'll come up with the right decisions.
You know, it's funny because he was asked about the coaching yesterday. So here's the deal. If you're a listener to the show right now, Brian, and you think that Dave Tippett should be fired, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You think that's the case, and so you think anybody that doesn't believe that the coach should be fired right now is just an ass-kisser. That's the way people are. Like, there are a percentage of people that actually think that way. Like, I just disagree with you on this. They should fire the coach. So what if they've had seven coaches over the last 10 years? So what if the coach had the team at 16-5? I don't care about the numbers. You're lying. Like there's a perception of the fan base out there that is like that, right? That's just, you know. And I wonder at times whether or not, Brian, over the last 20 months, I wonder if it's gotten worse. Because you know what? It is a challenging time. Some people would say it's been a crazy time, and it adds to further. What do you think? Do you think maybe because of what we've all been dealing with for the last basically 2 years, it's even ramped it up even further?
I definitely think that. I was a little surprised that it almost felt like people wanted to cancel out Dave Tippett, and I just think that's crazy. I know Dave Tippett, the man, not just the hockey coach. The person, the human being he is. He cares about the players. He works his tail off every day on this team. He's giving 110%. You never worry about that. You never wonder about that with him. He's coached over 1,000 games in this league. He's universally liked by every player that ever played for him. I understand people didn't like, and they really grabbed onto his comments about Koskinen. That's a decision for all the fans out there that when you're the general manager, you get to kind of set some rules with your staff. And it's become more common in this era that you don't berate your players, certainly not in the days when I played or you played, Bob. That was just the way it was. The world is different. But coaches haven't lost the ability, in my opinion, at least not under any team I'd be running, to have the ability to point out when a player hasn't played well. And that's what I took Dave Tippett to be doing there.
Yeah,
Koskinen hasn't played well. He needs to be better. It's deflating. You get it. To me, people made too much out of that. You got to look at the totality of Dave Tippett's record and how he's handled players and teams. This guy's an A. He's not a guy you want to cancel out. That would be incredibly foolish, in my opinion.
Well, Koskinen was coming off a tough performance, and his numbers dropped to 0-5-1 in his last six starts with an .866 save percentage. You know, it's almost like you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. I mean, the coach sits there. We want good quotes, but he didn't protect Hot. You know, he would never say that, that's the counter. Well, he would never say that about Mike Smith. And I think that Smith's coming back from injury, and Mike Smith said, yes, he's actually said it before about me too in the past when I've needed to be better, and didn't mind Koskinen's response. And I didn't mind that Koskinen said he was disappointed in Tippett's comments. I did mind that Koskinen talked about his team only scoring 7 goals in 6 games. Because, let's not forget, Mikko, you went 12-2 when the team was scoring 4.3 goals per game. And I had no problem with the fact that he was back in. And I have some empathy for the position that Koskinen's been in as well. Because of Smith's injuries, it's been very challenging. He's had to start a lot of games in short windows. Brian Lott, one more for you here. Would you trade? So I'm going to put the question back to you. Would you trade the Oilers' first-round draft choice at this point for rental, be it a rental goaltender, a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury, or a rental scoring wing? And maybe it's a dubious point now based on how Nashville's going with Philip Forsberg. But would you make a move like that right now if you were in Ken Holland's shoes for rental? Would you move an asset like that?
No, I wouldn't. I don't think he needs to do it right now. Now, there's still a lot of information to be garnered from this season. We've seen a tale of two teams so far. But keep in mind that the Edmonton Oilers, I mean, they've played 34 games. It's not even a half season. Before we get to the trade deadline, you'll get 50% more of the season. And I would use every minute to evaluate my team just as quickly or as poorly as Edmonton has played in their last 10, 12 games plus. They're capable of playing that well again, how they did at the start of the year. So I wouldn't be, whenever you have time in this business, you need to use it because you don't always get that luxury. Ken Holland still has time to make decisions like that. But trading a first rounder right now for a UFA to try to influence that is a risk that I would not take right now.
That said, are there things you think that Edmonton could do better as an organization?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I look at Toronto and Kyle Dubas and some of the things he's been able to do. You know, they have a competitive advantage and they're a big market team. The Edmonton Oilers are spending to the max, too, just to be fair to Daryl. But they go above and beyond. They've got staff behind staff behind staff. They've got a 12 to 15 person analytics team. I think it's come up big for them this year with some of the signings they've made, particularly for their bottom six. They're a team that's top heavy with stars. You could say Edmonton's top heavy with stars. More and more GMs are telling me it can either have stars or depth. I don't believe that. I don't. You can get locked in with stars when you kind of max out on them, but that's a function of time. There's lots of teams that you just go through these stretches where you can or can't have the other, but it's not a certainty. So, yes, I think the Oilers could improve their process. I think that they could do some things off the ice that would strengthen them as an organization. I think that's low-hanging fruit. But most of that stuff comes from the top, as in your general manager or even in your, you know, the first thing you do when you take over a team, just for all the fans out there, the first question, what would you think the first question is you have, Bob, when someone hires you as a GM?
How are you going to make the team better?
That's the second one.
How much money are you going to spend?
What's my budget?
There you go. How much money are you going to spend? Yes.
Yes. Yes. And it's not just on the players' salaries. It's on strengthening the entire organization. And things like that, you know, I see a lot of teams spending to the cap on players, but when I see teams that aren't maximizing their return as an organization, you know, the NHL is a very inefficient market. Okay, what does that mean? It means there's a lot of human error in it. Okay, that comes from not being properly staffed, in my opinion.
Wow.
And I see a lot of teams that fit into that bucket. Absolutely. You got to take advantage of it. That's easy. I thought that those inefficiencies would be rooted out of the game back in 2009 when I was hiring people in analytics. And it hasn't changed as much as I would have thought. If you're not running your team by predictive models, then you're probably behind the curve. I know you're behind the curve.
And that's how Toronto ends up getting a guy like Michael Bunting for nothing.
Yeah, Carter Verhaeghe, Jonathan Marchessault. So we could name names all day long.
There's one out there right now that's playing that I'm going to be really interested to watch, see what happens with Mason Marchman. I think he could play in the top six or bottom six somewhere and be a very effective bottom six forward for a relatively inexpensive price. Hey, Brian, great stuff. Love having you on the show.
My pleasure, Bob. Thank you.
Former general manager, Tampa Bay Lightning, headed Octagon's player agency.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now with the NHL Network, that was Brian Lawton. It is 12:54. We'll get to your text when we return on Oilers Now.
Hi, I'm Darnell Nurse from the Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
12:55 in Edmonton. We got to get back playing games. You know what? It's going to get busy once the Oilers get to the Florida game. They got Ottawa on Saturday. That is going to be, if I can find the schedule quick enough, Saturday, January 15th, Edmonton plays Ottawa. Then there's a little bit of a break until they start up again on the 20th at home against Florida. And then they got Calgary on the 22nd, in Vancouver on the 25th, home to Nashville 27th, at Montreal, and Ottawa 29th and the 31st. And in Washington before the end of the break before the All-Star break, a quick break, and then we're waiting for a bunch of rescheduled games between February 7th and February 20th. The Oilers could play as many as nine games during that stretch. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Love having Brian on the show. He's been in the chair. He said he can spend in other areas, and what's the number one question? And I said, how do you make the team better? And I was wrong. It's what's my budget. So there you go. Let's get to some text on the Ashley Fine Flores text line. Fletch from Calgary says, Bob, it's simple. The team plays for Smith but not for Koskinen. How could you play for Koskinen when he lets in so many bad goals? This goaltending issue is on Ken Holland. We don't need a coaching change. We need a number one goaltender. It's tough being an Oilers fan. And you can text us again at 780-496-0063. Bob, Brian Lawton had some very eye-opening comments regarding staffing in analytics. And again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Randy and Brooks says, I'm okay with the Koskinen comment. Which one? The one that Tippett made or the one that Koskinen made? Again, you can text us at any time, 780-496-0063. You can keep coming at any... Boy, we got lots of people. Well, here's one. Here we go. Bob, for somebody in the criminal justice system that has represented a number of individuals and advocated for second and third chances, this texter says, I'm in an agreement that principles should never be forgotten. However, Mr. Kane has been given multiple chances and has proven to be unrepentant and not willing to change his ways. What is extremely upsetting in this pandemic period for an individual to falsely fabricate a vaccination card suggesting he's been vaccinated is an offense in Canada of forgery under the Criminal Code of Canada. The intentional act of fabricating a card where most in Canada have been sacrificing their lifestyle is a direct reflection, says this texter, on Mr. Kane's character. And this latest alleged incident at the border further underscores the lack of character this gentleman possesses. There is absolutely no logical reason for this organization to sign Mr. Kane. Mark Spector had an excellent piece on Sportsnet talking about at least 9 opportunities that this gentleman has had regarding Evander Kane. So there is the contrast to those that are out there that would sit there. You know, you look at it from a hockey perspective, he's a good player. He's going to be cheap. You can get him for the end of the season, so it's low risk on that end. And he's probably going to be on his best behavior. How many chances do you give people? And I get it. There's that issue as well. Where it gets tricky is sometimes you have people that are criticizing other individuals that maybe need to look in the mirror themselves sometimes. And so we'll see where this goes and how it all plays out. Bob, was that Mark Spector pretending to be a lawyer? No, I don't recognize the text number, so it was not what was happening there. All right, we're going to head off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. At 105 today, David Staples from the Cult of Hockey, and he, of course, is a prominent Edmonton Journal writer covering provincial affairs as well. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon. On Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.